Hello, this is Dr. Dimitrios Kostopoulos, and this is another episode of the podcast Precision in Clinical Practice, Boosting Profits and Patient Outcomes with Diagnostics. And today we have put together for you a very, very interesting podcast that promises to provide you with gems, ideas, and tips that can take your clinical practice to the next level. I hope you enjoy it. Let's listen to it. All right. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Dimitrios Kostopoulos. I'm going to do a quick introduction here. This type of events, they are not meant to be by any means just mere presentations from my side. Yes, it is true. I have more than 30 years experience as a physical therapist in private practice, 35 years experience as a clinician physical therapist. I have gone through many stages of practicing from together with my business partner. We've gone through developing private practices, selling private practices, reopening private practices. We've gone through all of these cycles. So there is a lot of experience in the area, but the idea here is not of one-way flow of communication, but more of a two-way communication so that we can kind of help each other and we can develop in 2024 a different level of physical therapy practice. It is very true that there are a lot of challenges in the field of physical therapy, especially that in private practice right now. I will give you a couple of examples of what we are dealing with, and not only examples that I know specifically, but I'm going to give you also some hard evidence, some actual statistics, some KPIs, so that you can see what we are dealing with as a profession, and then to identify ways to actually overcome these challenges. So, first, let me give you the example or a little bit of history of what happened with us, with myself and Constantine, my business partner, in our evolution as physical therapy practices. We opened our first physical therapy practice in 1992. So that was 31 years ago. That was actually in Queens and then a satellite office in Manhattan. From 1992 to 1998, in 6 years, we went from one PT practice to 13 physical therapy practices, treating more than 3,000 visits per week. So we had a very, we were opening more, two or more practices per year. We had a very, very fast growth, and it was great. What ended up happening from 2002 to 2004, a tremendous change happened in the state of New York. Insurances slashed their rates to more than 50%. New York became the laboratory of testing how low an insurer can go before they hit bottom on the level of tolerance of physical therapy practices. Just to give you some examples,
And I know, for example, that Daniel is practicing in New York right now. Daniel, back in the late mid and late 1990s, we used to get paid from Blue Cross Blue Shield $140 to $160 a visit in New York. And right now, as you know, you don't get paid more than around $60 a visit from Blue Cross. This is a change that happened in 2002. So we went like from, I call this the letter that changed everything. In November of 2002, we received just a few days before Thanksgiving, a letter was the first one, I think it was from Blue Cross, that it was an ultimatum that unless we accept the new rate, which was from $140 down to $60, on January 1st, we would have to leave the panel. They would cancel our participation. A couple of months later, we received similar letters, Aetna from $112 down to $60-$65, Oxford, United Healthcare from $88 back then to $62.50. So they were tremendous reductions in reimbursement. So we had to make very quickly changes. And those of you who have more than one locations and more than a few employees, you know that the larger you become, the slower you can adapt, the slower you can incorporate changes throughout your organization. So it was very, very difficult. I mean, how do you slash personnel or expenses so drastically, especially when you have more than $250,000 payroll every 2 weeks. So, and 150 something employees. So it was very challenging. We overcame this. We overcame this in many different ways. Initially, we overcame this by selling some of our locations and also by consolidating some others to reduce expense, because it was, if all of a sudden your income gets slashed by 40%, it's such a huge reduction that you have to really move fast to survive. And then, I mean, for us, the saving grace was that we realized that the very, very few cases of diagnostic testing that we were doing back then, EMGs, not yet ultrasounds, we were doing mostly EMGs back in the mid-1990s, the reimbursement was wonderful. So when this happened with the insurances, our level of necessity increased and we started paying more attention to that side of the business. And we developed then little by little a very robust, very successful diagnostic testing business with profit margins in the neighborhood of 40% or more. So, and this is our story back then, right? But they say history repeats itself. And what you see right now is you see tremendous reductions in reimbursement rates from insurances. And Daniel, I don't know, and I'm referring to you because you are in New York. Today, I received two text messages from colleagues in New York that they received a letter from HealthFirst. Okay, so talk to me about that. What did you receive?
So we don't take them, but my colleague, he came into work this week and he sent me a picture. They slashed it to $50.
That's right.
Yeah.
from right now, practices get more than $100 and something.
Right.
Now, how can a practice survive like that, right? I mean, how can a practice survive when rates get slashed, when rates get reduced from, you know, $100, $110 down to $50 a visit? So that can be extremely challenging. Anamon, hello and welcome. So anyway, through these meetings, which I have announced right now, only seven of them, but I intend to announce more than those seven. I'm intending to utilize and offer this forum as a dialogue within 2024 to help practices develop outside of the common frame of mind of a physical therapy practice and identify ways that we can expand our practices in more profitable paths, in more profitable avenues. And my intent is not only to offer discussion in the area of diagnostics, which is my expertise and forte, but open the dialogue in many other areas for that. So how are we going to do that? So let me share this with you. What I decided to do was for the first 5-6 months of the year, I'm going to do seven webinars but meetings, discussion meetings like this one. And here are the topics. Today, I'm going to discuss this general topic, innovate your way to success in 2024. And I'm going to offer to you today some financial thoughts and some perhaps a little bit of financial strategic planning for you to start thinking with. And then on January 20th, we are going to talk about expanding horizons, achieving 30% profits beyond conventional PT. Now, this event on January 20th, it will be a broadcasted live event. Myself and my business partner will be attending the Graham Sessions, which is an APTA-sponsored event. It's an event sponsored. It's a very closed, small event sponsored by the private practice section of APTA. There are only about 100, 150 people who participate in that. We will be participating. And there is some great exchanges. So immediately after the ending of that event, which is going to be the equivalent of 4 p.m. Eastern, it's going to be in San Diego, so we're going to be at 1 p.m. Pacific. We're going to broadcast an event which will discuss different avenues beyond conventional PT to help you achieve 30% profits. So those of you who will join remotely, you'll join the event through this forum, this Zoom forum. Those of you who will be live in San Diego for the Graham Sessions, we have an actual luncheon that you can be invited if you attend that event live. Then, once a year, our organization, every February, we have a Leadership Academy event. These are the movers and shakers of the physical therapy industry that we get together in a place. This time we will be in Fort Myers in Florida. I think, Guillermo, you're attending this. It's a two-day event, but on day two, which is on Sunday, the 4th of February, we are going to broadcast a panel, a Leadership Academy panel, with some of the major players in the industry. And we're going to be discussing some of the key elements of where the physical therapy industry is right now. Then on the 21st of February, we are going to, it's going to be right after the combined sections meeting of APTA. And then we're going to have a webinar meeting, Navigating Industry Evolutions in Physical Therapy. That will be the post-CSM event. Then on the 13th of March, Innovation Playbook, Entering the Arena of Physical Therapy Advancements. In this event, we'll invite some of the people who will present a lot of their planning during these events. We'll have them with us to give us more details about the specific strategies that they are following in their practice to achieve high profitability. And then in April, we're going to have back these people so they can reveal to us how they did financially in the first quarter of 2024. Because I don't want words. I don't want just promises. I want real numbers, real things. Okay, what did they do, how they did it, and what are the results they got? So that this way we can have a duplicate, a model that can be duplicated and that we know that it was successful. And then in May, we're going to have Physical Therapy Private Practice Innovates, a hands-on exploration of the futures for physical therapy. So this is an event in May that will summarize everything that we have discussed up to that point. So for the first 6 months, in other words, of the year, I thought of taking these most important areas and discuss them with you with some specific planning. And then starting June until the end of the year, I'm going to take the six most important, the seven most important areas of a practice. Front desk area, marketing area, HR, financial area, delivery of service, and executive area, along with compliance. And every month, we're going to have a topic in those critical areas of a practice. So this is my plan for the year. All right. So I want to open now with a question to each of you. So I'm going to start from the way I see you guys on the screen. I see Daniel, then I see Guillermo, then I see Anamon. So Daniel, if you had to describe what are the three top areas of challenge for your practice, what would you say?
Yeah, you brought up a few already from your personal experience. So I acquired this practice this year with my partner. It was also opened up in the 1990s, and it's been around since I was born. And so the practice, their reimbursement rates with commercial payers were really low. So I've already started the process of renegotiation there, where increasing rates from $50 to $60 up to in the 80s to 90s, internally and then externally. And then the second one is staffing, right? I feel like everyone's trying to grow. It's getting harder to grow post-COVID era, where there's been this max surge, and you're overpaying for subpar talent or talent that you need to train, right? That requires a lot of time to develop for them to be profitable and bring value to your practice. So we just hired one person. We're really thankful that we got this person and we didn't need to go too out of the way. And then the third is, how do we grow further? All right. So what can we do to leverage ourselves in the future to where we're not so reliant on third-party payers, where we have value that the community sees or employer sees, and how can we provide further value to our current patients and future patients? So some things that were being explored are remote therapeutic monitoring, we're looking at using artificial intelligence so that we're taking off the administrative burden from our front office team and our clinical team, anything to help optimize the care that we can give and that quality of care to be at a higher level. So those are our three is, payers, staffing, and then utilizing new technology.
And how did you achieve an increase in the rate? Did you negotiate with payers? Did you have any other method of achieving the higher pay from the original pay that you had?
Yeah, so I tried renegotiating directly, and I'd get like 10%, which was something, right? It's something. But what I found out, and this is from my previous work with a larger practice, is that the bigger you are, the more friends you have, the more you can negotiate. So I joined a group that are working directly, and that helped me get a little bit more leverage from 10% to closer to 40%.
That's awesome. Very good. Very good. So thank you, Daniel. Guillermo, what are your three top challenges?
You pretty much know my challenge. Okay, with the same thing, the reimbursement rate, because that, but we have a better luck with you having with Blue Cross Blue Shield here in Texas. They pay really well. They reimburse always the way to 5 units. So the reimbursement are in the 110s, 115s. So that was great. We discovered that last year, how to make it happen better, because we were following Medicare rule for that, the 8-minute rule, but Blue Cross Blue Shield doesn't follow that rule. You can put 5 codes in an hour if you wanted to, because they follow the rule. I think it's every 10 minutes or something. So you can put all the units you want right there. It's completely different than the Medicare rule. So that was good. That would help us a lot. This year, believe it or not, we finished blue compared to last year. We're very red, very much. So, but with a lot of work, a lot of effort and everything. And then in my diagnostic testing and everything, I'm getting better. I mean, already Corey came here 2 months ago, I think September. And so for the day visit, now we have to program 6 more of those. And he was very productive because he helped me out a lot and little thing I was doing wrong. I mean, it's a very complicated system. So when I went to New York and stayed with Anoop and everything, that was a lot of help too, because those guys are really on top. So they do it very quick. So that helped me to speed up the process. But also, being with Corey, he'll be out with more detail oriented in the techniques and everything. So I've been working on it. I think I'm getting better. It's better results and better referral too. I think between November and December, we have the best 2 months of referral for EMG. So that was good. So we're getting better, and that's helping us with the bottom line, of course. So, and then we're ready to go for the February meeting. So I'm looking forward. Talking to my team because they are hesitant to invest in more machines and everything. But after the last meeting in September, when you presented about the new feed product, because the problem that I'm having, and probably everybody has, is the neuropathy, the peripheral neuropathy doesn't have any help for anybody. There is nobody helping them, those patients. So the doctors, the last resource, they go and get an EMG just to leave me alone because they know what they have. You know what I mean? And so they come, and the first question they ask you is, what do I do next? I'm kind of at the end of the rope here. And so my point, and Christina one time recommend that doing the light treatment, is like a laser treatment, but at low level, but it didn't work very well. I mean, the patient don't feel anything with those, so was it wasting money and time? So I'm really looking forward to talk to you guys in February when we go there, because I think our laser, we finally finished paying our laser, so we can invest in the new fit. And
we have great success with the newbie, both clinically, but also it's a major attractor for patients.
Yeah.
And
question, in Florida, are you charging cash for that procedure, or how are you doing it?
It depends. In some cases, we can charge cash. In some other cases, we cover it through insurance. It depends on what type of insurance and how much they pay.
Yeah.
And if it is a low pay insurance, then we charge separate cash.
Yeah, you charge it like a $50 for the procedure, and on top of
they can get or they can get a package.
Yeah.
You can get a package of X number of sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I include the EMG at the beginning. You do the EMG at the beginning, and then you do...
What we do is we'll do the EMG at the beginning.
Yeah.
They're going to follow up with X number of visits, and then we do a repeat of the nerve test.
How many visits? How was the process?
The protocol we have, the standard protocol is 12 visits.
12 visits, okay.
The liver,
divided like a 3 a week, something
the,
like
the
that.
Liver, the protocol, the one that we did the research on, is either 3 times a week for 4 weeks or twice a week for 6 weeks.
Perfect.
This is the protocol, and pretty much, regardless if the patient did the 4 week or the 6 week protocol, we did not have a statistical significant difference between the two. So both of them performed pretty well.
Yeah. But the patient felt better. That was the main
patient
thing.
Felt much, much better.
Yeah.
And we saw the changes. I mean, you saw I presented the study, the results of the study at the symposium. I mean, the results were pretty awesome in terms of differences in remyelination and all that.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
So, okay, good. Thank you guys for sharing all that. I'm going to jump in for a quick moment and then just talk a little bit about some finances and some viewpoints that you could potentially look or assume. So looking at financial freedom, right? There are different levels to reach that. We have financial security. That is when the passive income covers your basic living expenses. Then we have financial independence, when the passive income covers your current lifestyle. Then finally, we have financial freedom, where you have passive income covering your ideal lifestyle. Okay. So looking at this a bit more specifically, financial security includes what? Includes your mortgage or rent, your food, utilities, transportation, basic insurance, clothing, like the very basic stuff. And you see, I'm referring here to your personal level, not necessarily to your business. The business is different, but you're going to see here that I'm talking about your financial security, your financial independence, your financial freedom, because at the end of the day, everything that you do in the business will trickle down into your household. Okay. So this is basically a way for you to calculate how much you need per month, how much you need per year to gain financial security. So, for example, I'm going to use the example of Miss Piggy here. If Miss Piggy's rent, she needs $3,000 per month for rent or mortgage, $1,000 for food, $500 for utilities, transportation, insurance, clothing. She needs $84,000 per year. Now you're going to tell me, why am I using these numbers? Because at the end of the day, I want to show you how, what it would take in a period of 10 years for you to attain this condition and be able to live off your savings, invested savings, instead of working. Okay. So if we look at the higher level than that, look at financial independence, we include everything that you do right now, everything that you spend right now to support your existing lifestyle. And let's say for Miss Piggy, that's $144,000. Now, these amounts are after taxes. This is after she has paid all of her taxes, all right? So that would be, let's say, $12,000 a month, $144,000 per year for her to, after taxes, for her to maintain her current lifestyle. And then if she was looking at financial freedom, she will have to include a variety of luxury items that brings her, for example, at about $250,000 a year after taxes. Okay, that would be $20,000 per month after taxes. Okay, so your specific example might be more, might be less, or whatever, but this, I'm using that as an example on how you can come to calculating these numbers. All right, so now let's look first of all the current challenge for private practice physical therapy. Everybody talked about profit margins that are declining. And I am sorry to show you some actual national numbers, national statistics, and this is from the PPS APTA KPI benchmark study that shows the profitability, the profit margin for physical therapy private practice. So here is what I'm going to show you. Well, first of all, on the average, practices do 12.9 visits for every new patient they see. They give them 3.6 procedures per visit. And if you take this across the whole United States, they make $120 per hour. Now, I know you will tell me, oh, no way I'm making $120. No, but you know, in this study, there were practices that participated from Alaska and from Washington State and from states that they pay a lot more money that potentially you are making. But at the end of the day, the revenue per visit was $104 average, and the net income was only 8.1%. The median net, meaning profit, this is profit, right? This is net income, this is profit. That is not just income. This is net income. This is actual profit. All right. So in the PPS APTA study, the net income, the net profit was only 8.1%. Now, what is worrisome that I'm going to show you right now is this. What is worrisome is the trend. Again, this benchmark study of PPS APTA, it started in 2016. And it ran 2017, 18, 19. In 2020, it did not. And then it was run again in 2022. The new study for 2023 numbers is starting in the next few weeks, actually, the collection of outcomes. So, but look at this. The profit margins back in 2016, they were close to 14%, 13.6%. And look where they are right now, 7.2%. So we have a declining trend of the median of the net income. All right, this is very worrisome. This is problematic. Now, why the net income so low? We talked about this a little while ago. Reimbursements are going down. So you have declining reimbursements, right? And what happens to your expenses? Are your expenses declining along the same way as reimbursements are declining? No. Your expenses are going up because your what you pay for salaries for the staff is going up. And what you pay for rent, for supplies, for anything else is going up because because inflation has increased. You have this. Let me draw this, okay? So if I take 1 second, I'm going to use a white. So you have reimbursements that are on a decline, and you have expenses that are on an incline. So what happens here? This is your profit. You had this much profit, and now your profit is down. So this is where you have to say, okay, what am I going to do to increase my revenue so that my profit margin can increase? Because I'm telling you, it is so much easier to increase revenue than to cut expenses. You can cut expenses, but it is so much more challenging to cut expenses than to increase revenue. All right, so now let's go back. I showed you about, you know, the three different levels. We talked about financial security, financial independence, and financial freedom. So let's see now what it would take to get there. So I'm doing the math for those of you who are doing only physical therapy. Now, what are the assumptions I'm making here? The first assumption I'm making is that if you put whatever amount of money you put in an investment account, in the long term, that investment account will return to you 10%. If you go and you put in a well-diversified account in Fidelity, in Vanguard, in anywhere, in a balanced portfolio, that balanced portfolio should be able to return back to you about 10%. If you invested in the S&P 500 and if you invested in the total stock market, combined perhaps with some bond investments, it will give you somewhere around 10%. So then, my thinking is, what amount of money do you have to put on the side so that the 10% you are going to get from those investments to provide you either with financial security, with financial independence, or financial freedom. And we said in the example that we used, somebody would require $84,000 for financial security, $144,000 for financial independence, and $240,000 per year for financial freedom. This is the example we use, okay? So then here are the calculations I'm making. I'm saying, and you will do that, you can do that. If our current revenue per visit is $85, and we target to have a 20% profit, and I understand right now the physical therapy industry is nowhere near the 20%, but let's take the example that we did 20% profit with whatever changes we made in our practice. That would give us about, let's say, $16, $17 of margin. So that would require, in a period of 10 years, 52,500 visits at $85 revenue per visit, or 90,000 or 150,000 visits to get this amount. Now, I know you tell me, oh, I make $100 a visit. I made $110 a visit. I understand. But here I'm taking all the visits, not only the ones that you get paid. I'm including in the calculation the ones that you do not get paid. And if you have, I don't know, 5% of your visits, 7% of your visits, that for some reason you do not get paid, that decreases your average reimbursement per visit. So then per month, you're going to need 438 visits to make that $840,000 amount, or 750 or 1,250 visits per month to get you to that number. And then I extrapolate here, I put it per week, how many visits you will have to do. How many new patients you are going to need per month or per week for you to get these visits, considering 12 visits per patient. In other words, you know, and I'm going to go use the very final example. For you to have financial, for Mrs. Piggy that we use to have financial freedom at $240,000 a year that she will need to get from her investments, she needed to invest $2.4 million. At $85 per visit, revenue per visit, and $16 profit, she would have to deliver 1,250 visits per month. That would take 104 new patients per month for you to get 1,250 visits per month. That is 26 new patients per week. And assuming that the therapist will see between new patients and regular visits about 55 patients per week, you will need 6 physical therapists to produce that for you. Do you see the math? Any questions so far on this calculation? All right. So then I'm going to take it to, I'm going to show you a different calculation. Because we have here not only practices who do PT, but practices who incorporate also diagnostic testing like EMG and musculoskeletal ultrasound. Let's see how the numbers are for them. I'm going to use exactly the same numbers, 84,000, 144,000, 240,000 that we need for financial freedom. At an average reimbursement of $250 per test, which is pretty average, and here I'm utilizing When I'm saying a test, can be a combination. It can be an ultrasound. It can be an EMG. It can be an evoked potential study. I'm using a very conservative number, $250 per test. At the 35 to 40% profit margin that you can run easily that business, that will give you $100 profit for every test that you do. For financial freedom, you're going to need 24,000 tests in 10 years, or 200 tests per month, or 25 tests per week. And you're going to need half a physical therapist to produce this for you. That assumes that the physical therapist can do 50 tests per week. That is 10 tests a day. That includes a musculoskeletal ultrasound that takes you 10 minutes to do, and it includes an EMG that can take you 45 minutes to do. Okay, so I'm very conservative here. So most practices, they'll have a combination of diagnostics and physical therapy. So a combination of the two can provide you really with what you're looking at. But the key, guys, is how do you get this profit margin? If you only did physical therapy, then you get the 20% profit margin. And when I'm talking about 20% profit margin, I'm talking about you paying yourself before you calculate the profit margin. Paying yourself at a rate as a physical therapist, paying yourself at the rate as a manager, or whatever other work you do. So it can be pretty challenging, especially when you see this statistic here that nationwide practices are making on the average about 8%. So getting to that level of, 20%, it's going to be challenging. So one way to do this, and why you're not getting enough, is it because you don't have enough production, or you do not have high reimbursable production? So you see, if you have hundreds of patients that their insurance pay you $50 a session, you will never make it, because it will cost you so much more to deliver service. So I'm borrowing here Mike Michalowicz's concept of the pumpkins, okay? Pumpkin plant theory. That's the small pumpkins and the big pumpkins. If you have only small pumpkins and you put your attention only in the small pumpkins for your revenue, if you're putting all of your attention, all of your effort to deliver your services for the $50 a visit insurances, then you won't get to the 20% to the 30% profit margin. In order for you to increase your profit margin, you have to put your effort and your focus on the big pumpkins, those insurances that they pay more. How can you direct your marketing efforts towards those insurances that pay more? And furthermore, I'm saying that at least my experience, when you concentrate here only on PT, these are your small and medium-sized pumpkins. In our practice, we also do diagnostic testing, nerve testing, musculoskeletal ultrasound, which they deliver much greater revenue per visit, and therefore we are able to have bigger pumpkins and greater percentage of profitability. All right. Now, once you get to that 20%, 30% of profitability, then you start following the profit first concept. So what is the profit first concept? The old accounting concept was that you have sales, income, right? This is your income minus your expenses. It gives you the profit, right? This is the old way of thinking. Now, here is your new way of thinking. You take your income, you deduct from your income first your profit, and then you pay your expenses. And I know what is the question you have right now and what you're thinking. Well, what if what is left over is not enough for me to pay my expenses? Then guess what? You just increased your level of necessity. Your level of necessity was just increased for you to go and find ways to increase your revenue so that you can have enough to pay your expenses without affecting your profit. How are you going to do that? By putting all of your attention to the higher pumpkins, to the higher size pumpkins, to those insurances that pay more, to those services that pay more. Okay? So this is very much possible. I'm going to give you one little example about our organization, right? And I'm okay. I can share some numbers. I have no problem on that. In New York, and I'm going to speak for New York only, our physical therapy organization that occupies 25 physical therapists, 25 physical therapists, most full-time, a few part-time. That organization is delivering a little bit over $4 million. Our diagnostic testing organization that occupies 7 to 8 physical therapists delivers more than $4 million. So both companies together, they deliver about $9 million. So you have a company that relies only in physical therapy that would deliver $4.5 million and occupies 20 PTs, 25 PTs. And you get another company that occupies 7, 8 PTs and brings in the same amount of money, $4.5 million. So in our situation, we do not say, oh, we will only do diagnostics. No, neither we say we will only do physical therapy. We are using the combination of the two, the synergy of the two, to get a combined revenue and a combined profit margin in the neighborhood of about 30%, which is unheard of for physical therapy organizations. So this is my message, that somehow we should start thinking outside of the box so that we can start incorporating. And I'm not saying diagnostics is the only answer. No, it is one of the answers. It can be other things also, expanding our horizon so that we can be able to obtain, looking at those bigger pumpkins that can provide a better answer for our organization. And I'll give you one little tip. And the tip I'm going to give you right now, I think it is It is gold. One of the things we did through the years, we divided our insurances. I'll talk more in detail in a future meeting like this. We divided them to insurance level A, B, and C. How did we come up with this? We looked at the reimbursement of all of the insurances. Then we found the average and we found the mean. Those insurances that were at least one standard deviation above the mean, we put them in the bucket A. That's the preferred insurance. Insurances that were one standard deviation above and one standard deviation below the mean were the B level insurances. And insurances that were more than one standard deviation lower, below the mean, those were level C insurances. That was step one. Step two, we went and we identified those type A insurances. Where do we get these patients from? Who are the referral sources that send us these patients? What are the specific marketing avenues that produce more of level A insurances? And we paid total attention and focus on that. And we took money out of the C and we put attention and money more on A. Money, time, effort, focus on A. So this way you start shifting your average reimbursement to the right, to the higher level insurances. So we did not discriminate on patients. We did not say, no, we're not going to see you, okay? But if our focus brought more of those level A insurances, we had less availability in our schedule to see some of the C plans. So this is like it was a natural evolution for us to move to the right side of the bell-shaped curve, right? I hope that you find this helpful. Well, is there any question for me?
Yes, I do have a question. So when you say like, you know, A, B, or C, what is your mean? Is it 85 usually? Like it's around that 85 mark. So
for every market and every location will be different, but ours is about there, about 80, 85.
Right. So a second question, where do you put Medicare in that? Since they're technically a little bit higher, depending how many units. However, there's restrictions to what other patients you can see there, right?
So let me give you one more gem. All right. I would challenge you, instead of looking at average reimbursement per session per insurance, for you to look at average reimbursement per minute per insurance. Per minute, not per session.
Yeah.
Because if I get, I'm going to use a number 100, right? Mm-hmm. If I use 100, if I get $100 from an insurance that I can only need, I don't know, let's say 20 minutes to see that patient, and I still get $100, then I received $4.50. No, five. I got $5 a minute, right?
Close.
20 minutes, $100.
Yeah.
No, $5 a minute. But if I have another insurance now, that for me to get $100, I have to spend 45 minutes with that patient or 53 minutes with that patient, all of a sudden, my per minute reimbursement has gone down to less than $2, $1.50 mm-hmm. per minute. Follow me. So in that, from that calculation, that viewpoint, Medicare is going to fall somewhere between B or C. Mm-hmm. Not going to say I'm not going to take Medicare, because Medicare will tend to pay a little faster also. Mm-hmm. All right. Plus, there are different values on Medicare. You get friends, family, whatever. Plus, look, yeah, I understand that for physical therapy, that will be a little challenging on Medicare. But that same Medicare patient, when I do an EMG on that patient, that will pay close to $500 for one EMG.
So a follow-up question on that point. So Medicare reimburses physical therapist EMGs, or does it need to be co-signed by a physician? It's in New York, you're good? Okay.
Physical therapist, yeah.
But another follow-up question, because I know that you do imaging. What about a musculoskeletal ultrasound?
Musculoskeletal ultrasound is paid by most insurance carriers. By Medicare right now, it is paid only in about four different states that they have as Medicare intermediary Noridian. The rest of the intermediaries have not included yet in the physical therapy taxonomy. Other insurances pay, of course. It is just that straight Medicare does not pay yet on the other intermediaries. But we're working very closely with the Government Affairs Department of APTA to reverse that. And I believe by the end of 2024, we may have some very, very promising results on that end.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like if each APTA chapter releases like a minimum threshold that's accepted and everyone sees that and starts opting out of insurances, I think that would be one step forward to us getting higher reimbursement rates. It's like, oh, the APTA says in New York, it's $85. If you're lower, like, good luck signing a physical therapist to, you know, lower, right? Just that type of like transparency can really drive change. But I think that's a different topic for a different time.
Yeah. And Daniel, unfortunately, our associations have specific limitations on what they can say and what they can do, because of the nature of the entity, of the association. Mm-hmm. An association, if they discuss specific rates and such, they may get sued by an insurance, for example. So mm-hmm. there are some limitations as an association what they can do. Then mm-hmm. other individual entities can do other things. Mm-hmm. Let me also put real quick up here just my information. I'm sharing with you here my email address. Then I just share the website of Hands-On Diagnostics for you guys if you want any more information about that. But anyway, please join me again on, here is our next meeting, is on January 20th. It's going to be on expanding horizons, achieving 30% profits beyond conventional PT. And that will be a live broadcast from the right after the Graham sessions of PPS APTA from San Diego. So you're going to receive the reminders anyway for that event. But I hope you found the information helpful. I definitely enjoyed very much interacting with you. Definitely please tell your friends to join us. Oh, I also have a little gift for you. Let me give you the little gift. So here is my gift. A couple of years ago, my business partner and I, we published a book, Private Practice PT Beyond 2020. And if you go to the chat portion of this presentation right now, if I just post it on the chat, a free audiobook. So you guys can get the audiobook of Private Practice PT Beyond 2020. Okay? You'll get it for free if you plug in your name and you put a request. It will come automatically to you. All right. Thank you, guys. I hope you found this helpful, and I hope to see you all next time. All right. Take care.
Thank you very much, Dimi. We'll see you in February.
Yes, bye. I'll see you, Guillermo. Bye.
All right. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and that you got some gems, ideas, and tips that you can use in your clinical practice that can create a difference in the way you practice and the way you profit. I hope to see you all next week. Until then, have a wonderful week.